Hi, welcome to Be My Fetish, a podcast that aims to explore legal paraphilia through discussions with my guests. We'll talk openly and freely about different kinks, fetishes, and fantasies in order to deconstruct and destigmatize them until they no longer are taboo or source of shame. The episode was recorded with a computer, so the sound is not perfect, but I hope you will understand and enjoy this episode. For this episode, I received Latex Born from England. How did he discover latex and kitten play? What does he like about these kinks? How is the kinky community in England? And what kinky events will he be participating to in the next few months? He will tell us everything. Hi, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, my name is Latex Born. I'm a bi cis man with a load of kinks, most notably latex, pet play, hypnosis, and bondage.
Okay, great. So today we'll focus mainly on two of these kinks, including rubber and pet play. At what age did you discover that you had a kink for rubber, and how?
So I was about 14, 15, and I was going down a YouTube rabbit hole, and I have no idea how I found it, but I found a video from a porn studio called Bondage Liberation.
Okay.
And it was with a model called Elise Graves and several dominants visiting the Studio Gum shop in either Germany or Austria, I can't remember the country, apologies. And Elise was being put in lots of heavy rubber.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing sexual because it was on YouTube, but the happy squeal she was making just, I needed to try it. And then when I was 16, 17, I discovered that fetish was a thing. I discovered the latex community, kind of, and I did my own research on it once I found that out.
Okay.
I bought my own very cheap latex when I was 17, but of course I didn't do anything until I was 18 and could actually join the scene legally and ethically. That's how it all happened.
Okay, great. And can you tell us more about the first time you actually tried rubber? Like, how did it feel?
So it was interesting. I'm bringing my mind back because it was quite a while ago, and it was when I was 17, so it's 3-4 years ago now. And it was a very cheap Chinese molded latex vest.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have lube or anything like that because I didn't know, and also I couldn't buy anything really, so I used some baby powder that I had in a cupboard somewhere. But it was an interesting experience because it was very much, as people describe it, a second skin. And it did just make a sensation just feel a little bit nicer, even though I didn't have any of the nice lube and shiner that I now have as not quite a seasoned latex person, but I've been in quite a lot of latex for a couple of years.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Where I was when I first started.
Okay, and what does it make you feel in terms of sensations, on the physical, maybe psychological and emotional level?
It's hard to explain if you haven't been in latex yourself, but it feels kind of like a full body hug,
mm-hmm.
especially when you've got skin tight latex on. It's intimate, it gets into all of your crevices, it fits to your body very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it both enhances but also dulls the sense of touch.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you feel latex in between your fingers if you try and touch something, but at the same time, having sensation put onto you, it makes it so much better. Like, I've had head rubs in latex so many times now.
Yeah.
And, oh, the sensation cannot be beat. Yeah.
I see. And where do you buy your rubber?
I get my rubber from quite a few companies. The most notable have been Triple L and Libidex.
Okay.
I've also bought from the Chinese company Latex Catfish.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend these suits to people wanting to start out with larger pieces of latex. The only thing that I always recommend is that you do a process called leaching on a Latex Catfish suit, which is essentially placing the latex in hot water several times to remove chemicals that basically cause latex allergies.
Okay.
A process that most Western sheet latex manufacturers have done.
Mm.
But one of the reasons why Catfish is cheaper is they remove this process. But as a consumer, it is such an easy thing to do.
Mm.
You don't need to worry about it. It's an hour long process at most.
Okay.
So you can do, and then you can wear your suit as much as you like and not have to worry about getting latex allergy.
Okay, great. Thanks for the tips. And how do you actually take care of your rubber suits? Are there like any specific things to do?
With lots of time and lots of money. It is a bit of a money pit when it comes to latex.
Yeah.
You need to use hot water and a cleaning agent.
Mm-hmm.
I personally use something called VivaClean. There is similar stuff by B-Gloss, and I believe the latex model has her own out. And some of my friends do use washing up liquid. I can't quote that. I've just heard they use it. I don't. And after you've washed it with a cleaning agent, you need to do a second wash to add a lubricant for storage.
Yeah.
I use VivaShine, but you can also use other lube. You can use any lube that isn't oil-based.
Mm-hmm.
And you, instead of that wash, you can just use talcum powder. But essentially, you need some form of lubricant to stop the latex sticking together.
Okay, yeah. You mentioned VivaClean and VivaShine. If I'm correct, I think there are products from VivaShine company.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, yeah, it's a company producing different products to take care of latex, right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Okay. So, do you wear rubber in a non-sexual context? And how? Like, what do you do?
I wear it for... I wear because it's cozy. Like, I have a pair of chlorinated latex pyjamas and a latex dressing gown, which, quite frankly, I would be wearing right now if it was not for the fact it would ruin the audio quality. And they are genuinely just very nice things to wear. My dressing gown is also chlorinated, and it just feels like a beautiful silk dressing gown.
Yeah.
So I wear it, stuff like that, for just general, just like in the evening, just nice and relaxed. It's easy to put on. You don't need lube to put on chlorinated latex. I also will wear some items of clothing just to vanilla but alternate events. For example, one of my local munches is in an alternative bar. So sometimes I will wear a latex hoodie to that because it just fits right in.
Okay.
I don't do that too often, but if it's raining, I have the excuse that it is my only waterproof clothing. So... it makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'll also wear latex to kink markets, such as a BBB, where even though I might not be playing, I might not be having a sexual encounter or even just platonic play,
mm-hmm.
it's just a nice place to be my shiny self in the company of other
okay, humans. Yeah. Yeah, I completely understand. And I think it's also really important to emphasize the fact that kinks and fetishes are not always sexual. They could be non-sexual and still bring a lot of pleasure.
I think it's very much how I view kink. I do have some sexual encounters with my partner. I have various play partners in my local area.
Mm-hmm.
Who it is completely non-sexual, we will do kink activities, impact or latex or hypnosis, various kink activities, but it does not need to be sexual. And
yeah,
90% of my kink, 90-95% of my kink is pretty much, non-sexual. So you don't need sex to be, to have kink. It's a good, it's nice. It's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. And do you have maybe any advice for people who would like to try latex?
So, basically, I would say start small. Buy a small item of clothing like gloves or some socks. Potentially, as I did, a vest or a shirt. Or if that's what you like, maybe a skirt. Something small, because they're cheaper anyway. And if you decide that you don't like it or you're allergic, you've not spent £200 on a catsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, so it means that you can see if you like it without breaking the bank. I also recommend if you do buy something like a shirt, you absolutely need some talcum powder or some latex-safe lube. Because I've tried it, it hurts. It really hurts to take it off.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. That was not a pleasant experience the first time. I learned very quickly to use lube.
So thank you for these tips. You also mentioned that you are into pet play. What is pet play? Can you explain it to us?
Yeah, I am very much into my pet play. So, pet play is kind of as it sounds. It is playing as a pet. So, typically, one person will be a animal of some description, usually something like a kitten or a puppy, potentially something like a pony.
Okay.
You can be any animal you want. I know people who are raccoons, I know foxes. You can be any animal that you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also have handlers and owners who are effectively the dominance in the situation. But you can have pet-on-pet play, but it depends on how you do your dynamic. I personally do pet-on-handler more than anything else, but pet-on-pet play can be fun as well. You just take on a animal-like headspace. It's kind of like ABDL in that respect. You're still you, but you're not quite you. There is just another side to your persona, almost, where you're just not quite human for a little while.
Yeah, I see. And I'm wondering, why would someone want to be a pet? What are people looking for when doing pet play?
From my own personal perspective, it's kind of like any submissive act.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a submissive pet. I tend to be. But it's just the general release of having to make human decisions. I'm a kitten. For the most part, when I'm in kitten mode, I don't need to worry about what coursework I've got to do or whether I've got enough money in the bank or what I'm going to do on my next shift at work.
Yeah.
I just need to focus on catching that toy.
And having fun.
That toy needs to die. I don't need to focus on the usual worries of everyday life. Much like how someone into impact play can focus on the hits they're receiving and the pain and the sensation. But they're not thinking. I very much doubt that anyone who has been hit is going, I wonder what my income tax is like. I very much doubt that might be some person out there, but no. So it's a similar sort of thing for me and for pet play. Yeah, you're just not thinking about the human stuff. You're just venting and being this raw energy almost.
At what age did you discover that you enjoyed being a kitten, and how?
So So I would have been 18. This came about when I had been talking to my now partner. She's now my partner. At the time, she was just a friend on the scene. She was one of the first people I talked to who was in the latex community.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens she was into kitten play. She loves the kitten aesthetic more than pet play, but that's changing now. But at the time, she just really liked the look. And I just thought, you know what? This seems cool. I just gave it a go. Another friend of mine gave me my first kitten hood.
Okay.
Which I very much enjoyed. I'm fairly sure there's some pictures of me in that on the internet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's very much how it started. And over lockdowns in the UK, I was able to explore it a little bit more on my own.
Yeah.
Because of course I couldn't meet up with anyone. And I slowly expanded my kit to be to a collar, some cuffs, and even a tail.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's just been a slow process of discovering that. And since we've come out of lockdown, I've been able to do a little bit of pet play with my partner,
mm-hmm.
And with other friends in the scene. Yeah, so it's been a slow burning candle, but it's been a fun one to explore.
Okay, great. I'm glad to hear it. You mentioned that you're using accessories. Are those accessories necessary to be a kitten, to do pet play?
Absolutely not. Accessories, to me, are vital to how I view my pet play.
Mm-hmm.
I have an emotional anchor to my gear.
Yeah.
And also because of how I discovered it, my partner being into latex and me being into latex and my first hood being latex,
mm-hmm.
it just lent itself to that's how it works for me.
Mm.
But I know kittens and pets who have no gear. They just get on the floor and start meowing. They're
yeah.
a cat. I know some dogs who they have very little gear. They might have a hood or a collar. But other than that, yeah, that's a dog. They're barking.
Yeah.
Adorable. They're doggy. But no, you absolutely don't need it for play. I think it heightens the experience, and especially once you've formed an emotional connection to it, or even a hypnotic connection, which you can do.
Yeah.
It really heightens play, but no, you don't need it. If you want to try pet play for the first time, just get on go on your knees and just bark or meow or wink or moo, whatever animal you feel like being. Just try it out.
Yeah. And where can we buy pet play accessories?
You can buy pet accessories in some cases. The cop out answer is at a pet store.
Yeah.
If you'd like to get a collar,
okay.
You can go to a pet store. You don't have to. I have personally got my non-latex pet gear from a company called Leather Delights in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
That was my two of my collars, as well as my wrist and ankle cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I cannot recommend them enough. They've got a lifetime guarantee on all of their products
okay.
if they break while playing. I've had my stuff for 2 years now, and the only piece of damage on any of my gear I did myself, because I have to get out of gear because of an emergency. But other than that, absolutely A-star. Yeah, I would recommend them. And my latex hoods, I bought them from Bright and Shiny,
mm-hmm.
and I got my tail from Triple L, but that's specific to latex, though.
Okay, great. I'm wondering, what does it make you feel to be a kitten? Same for rubber, like what kind of sensations on the physical, maybe emotional and psychological level?
I think I touched on it earlier, and it's just a catharsis. I don't think about being a human. I can just chase that cat toy, or I can just have a nap in the corner because, yeah, I can. I'm a cat. I don't need to worry about this human stuff. I do get a generally slightly more bouncy persona because I have this anchor to my latex cathood,
mm-hmm.
where I have to be in human mode to some degree. I'm just a little bit more extroverted and bouncy and cat-like almost. But I don't have to be on all fours meowing.
Okay.
But then I can be in full cat mode. Just give me treats. Thank you. Give me treats now. No, now. Give me treats.
I see.
Pet me. Pet me more. Stop petting me. Resume. That sort of stuff. General cat behavior that I don't get to do when I'm a human.
Okay. I see. And how do you relate there to your kinks? Are you comfortable or are you ashamed of it? Are you fulfilled? Do you feel guilty or not? And why?
The short answer would be no. I'm not ashamed by my kinks.
Mm-hmm.
They very much define who I am. And I'm in a friendship group and a community that love and support me and very much validate that I'm a good kitty. I'm very comfortable with who I am. I own it. It's who I am, really. I have no reason in my mind to feel guilty about it because I'm just being me.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good thing to hear because sometimes for some people it can be really difficult to like just accept their kink, accept who they are because of the society we are living in and because of all the stereotypes and stigmas that exist about kinks. So some people feel a lot of guilt and shame. But it's actually changing nowadays, and people are more comfortable with having kinks.
It definitely took me some time. When I first started on my kink journey, I was sceptical. Mm-hmm. I was confused. I was wondering if I was the only person out there. The generic things that everyone feels about this sort of stuff. I think that there is more kink in the media. I think as much as I think that the film is and the book is very bad and a very poor representation of kink.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey and the sequels to it
mm-hmm.
have done quite a lot to making kink more popular just because it almost normalised it for some people.
Yeah.
I think the actual depictions in the book and in the film are very sketchy. The subject of consent does not come off enough.
Yes.
But it certainly is changing, as you say. More people are becoming aware of kink in a good way and not just thinking it's something to be ridiculed or scorned, which is a good thing.
So, you also mentioned that you had a partner. When you met her, did you already know that she was into latex, and did she know that you were into latex and into pet play?
Oh, yes. we met via a Discord server exclusively for people in the Shiny community.
Okay.
And so we were just talking on there. Originally just as friends, and we met first as friends. But we've been Shiny since the very beginning. She was one of the people who helped me to start my latex journey properly. But she got me my I bought my first cat suit from her.
Mm-hmm.
because she had one in my size and she was very kind enough to sell it to me. Like I said, I didn't know she was into pet play when we were just friends.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We mentioned it in conversation, and she transferred that kink very much onto me. We've both been very much into latex for all of our relationship and our friendship before that.
Okay, that's great. And do you have maybe advice for people who would like to try pet play?
Go for it. Try it. I think I said it earlier, but literally just get on all fours. But guys, get on all fours right now. Have a little meow. Not right this second. But when you're in a comfortable space, in a place that you know, in a place you're comfortable to, either with a partner or on your own, just have a little try. See what works. If you've got an animal in mind, try that animal. Try a meow, for example. Try doing a meow.
Yeah.
Doing some cat-like actions or dog-like actions. Some of the things that you might expect of that animal to do, see how it feels. If you don't like that, try another animal. I think it's such an easy thing to get into because it's all in your brain, really. It's unlike a latex fetish, you don't need items to fulfill it.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for this advice. How is the kinky community in England?
It's very spread out and it's very niche in some ways. For example, where I am in the East Midlands, there's a lot of rope and there's a lot of hypnosis.
Okay.
But there is not that much latex.
Mm-hmm.
There is a pet play scene in the next town over from me, which I would very much like to get into properly at some point. It's just travel and COVID have been not helpful.
Unfortunately.
In Manchester, in Newcastle, and in London, there are big rubber scenes.
Yeah.
So it's there are very much little hotspots for different types of kink.
Mm.
So unfortunately, in Nottingham, where I am,
mm-hmm.
I am one of a small handful of latex people that I know.
Okay.
And there's a small number of pet players who I basically am now play partners with.
Yeah.
And I am one of a small handful of rubberists that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And there is such a large hypnosis and rope community, which has been lovely to engage with. And certainly in the case of hypnosis, it has helped me discover a very big new kink of mine. In terms of actual events, in Birmingham there is the Birmingham Bazaar Bazaar, which is a really good first event for people to go to.
Okay.
It has all sorts of different things in it. You've got latex, you've got pet play, you've got ABDL, all sorts of stuff. And so it's a great place to both see lots of different kinks in action. Whenever I've gone, you've seen full rubber drones for people who are into dronification. I've seen puppies on all fours. I've seen littles in diapers and not much else, and all sorts of wonderful things. And they have workshops every month, one of which I will be running in the March BBB. I'm running a talk on headspace and pet space.
Okay, great.
Alongside a petting zoo with some wonderful volunteer pet friends of mine.
Okay.
So you can come around and give the pets some love and call them good kittens, good raccoons, good foxes, and good puppies. And then in terms of latex events, there is quite a few. They are mostly London-based. There are a number of events up north. Quite a lot of them are catering towards the gay male community.
Yeah.
That I know of. There might be others, I'm not 100% sure. But the biggest events are Rubber Cult, which runs two times a year in London. There's also an event in Southampton called the Southampton Rubber Social, which I will be attending the one in March, so if you're going, feel free to say hi. And yeah, so it's mostly down south for the latex community.
Yeah.
But I honestly recommend to anyone interested in kink who's new or even who's been in the community for several years, you just haven't been, go to the VVB because it's a brilliant event.
Yeah, it seems actually pretty great, and I'm really sad that I'm in France and won't be able to join and see more about the workshop you'll be organizing in March. It seems like it's going to be pretty great. Do you have any plans regarding other kinky events for this year?
Currently, the only one that I'm properly booked in for is the Southampton Rubber Social. That's on the 12th of March this year. There's still some tickets available if there is anyone who wants to go who's interested. I'm also very likely to be at most of the BBBs in the UK this year because I enjoy them. I don't have any plans to come back as a leading a workshop unless they invite me back, but we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to be there most months, so... again, say hi. And I will probably be going to the October Rubber Cult with my partner.
Okay.
I will also be going to the East Midlands Mind Play monthly meets for hypnosis run by the lovely Imaginatrix and Sinister.
Okay.
In Nottingham, as well as the Nottingham Rope Social. So if you're in the East Midlands and you'd like to do rope or hypnosis, they are on the first and second of Mondays of the month, and they are lovely, so go, please come to them. They are very good classes for education on hypnosis and rope.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, and it seems like you have a really great program for the upcoming few months. So thank you very much for being here today and for explaining to us what is pet play and talking about your fetish for latex. It was really interesting.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah.
So this is the end of this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to tell me what you think about it and to follow me on social media like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter to like, comment, save, and share my posts. Also, whether you identify as female, male, non-binary, trans, heterosexual, gay, lesbian, bi, pan, monogamous, polyamorous, etc., if you are kinky, we want to hear your story. So if you ever want to participate in the podcast, please feel free to slide in my DMs or to send me an email. So, will you be my fetish? Kinkily yours, a curious man.